Just to begin, as some of you may have been following me, may have been following. I'm not sure if you're aware of the Roshei Tevos, or the word Shovavim. Shovavim is a time we're supposed to be very much focused on our development, our growth. Shovavim is a time of going from Avdus to Chirus. From stands for Shmos Va'era Bo Vishalach Yisro Mishpatim. That's Shovavim. And during when it's an extra month, we do Shovavim Tat. Time of year, we're supposed to be very much focused on our avodas Hashem, in our lev, in our machshavos, and we're coming to an end. And we know the very famous idea as well, that as things end, Lashon Rav Miller quotes every single year, HaKol Holich Achra Chasima, the way things end usually set a very strong tone for how they conclude and what you pull out of it. So this parsha is very, very crucial. But as opposed, as I mentioned a little bit before Rabbi Silverman spoke in the Tuesday Shmooze, as opposed to many other parshas we have until now, maybe all of them really up till now, a lot of narratives and storylines, this week's parsha is much more like just halacha-based. You know, spitting out halachas, halachas, halachas. The very beginning, we have the discussion of an Eved. That's how the whole thing really starts. We have a discussion of an Eved. And in the discussion, we describe a person who was put into slavery, usually for one or two reasons. You stole, you couldn't pay back, or you sold yourself into being avid because you couldn't afford. And you're there for a maximum of 6 years. Either that, or when the Yovel season comes, it frees you as well. So you have a 6 year period of time, and then you go out free in the seventh year. However, if you wanted to, that's what the Torah describes, read inside, in Perek Chaval of Pasuk, hey, the Amor Yomara Evid, if the Evid says, Ahavti Sad Abnias Yishtiv Es Banai, I love my new family, my adopted family, which is my master, and the wife that they gave me while I've been here, as well as the children. I don't want to leave. V'yisho Adonai El Ha'Elohim, referring to judges, not to God. The master takes you to the judges. V'yisho El Adels El Mezuzah, you take him to the door or the post. V'ratza Adonai V'znova Marseya, you give him the ear, the master pierces his ear, really over here in the more of the cartilage. And then you're a servant forever. What Olam means really means, it means till Yovel, but you're a servant for many, many years beyond that point in time. Famous Rashi. Rashi points out over here, and I'll read it to you inside. Again, in this Pasuk Vav, about the ear pierce. Umara ozen li'artza mikol shari varm shabaguf. Why is the ear pierced? Why is that the way to symbolize this person staying where he is for the next X amount of years? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ozen Zos, Sheshama al Har Sinai. The same ear that heard at Har Sinai, Lo Signov, thou shalt not steal. The Telech Begonov, and he went and he stole, Tirtza, should be pierced. And the same ear, if you're Mocher Atmo, you didn't steal, but you sold yourself. Ozen Shama Har Sinai, Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim, that Hashem says, you are my servants. Val Vakana Adon Atmo, but this guy took a new servant, a new master for himself. Tirtzai should be as the ear pierced. That is the psukim, the Madrash Rashi quotes over here. So I have three questions reading these Rashis right away. Number one, the ear heard a lot of things. Keep it out of aim, the ear heard, right? What did he hear? I've seen that you heard 10 commandments. Keep it out of aim. So if you're not nice to your parents should take you by the ear, literally or figuratively, to the local ear piercer, and your dad or your mom should pierce your ear. Why is that not mentioned as among the things that should happen if you violated one of the Ten Commandments? Number two, if in fact you're getting your ear pierced because you violated one of those commandments, why do they wait 6 years to give you that pierce? Should it not happen instantaneously? The moment that you saw yourself as an Eved. Again, the whole point was the same year that heard Har Sinai, don't steal and you stole. One second, you stole 6 years earlier. You're choosing to stay on longer right now. But should you not pierce the guy's ear before you take him to slavery for having to be sold to slavery in the first place? And number three, if you look at the Isser in the Torah of thou shalt not steal, it's not stealing items. It's kidnapping. Lo Signov is not theft. Like you go to your friends, you go to the area near the base of Edish, you steal someone's food. You don't pay for it. That's not what it's talking about. That's also Isser. That's not this Isser. It's different Isser. Lo signo is an Isra of the Torah, and that's there's nibros of stealing someone who by kidnapping him. Lo signo is a nefesh. So therefore, That's not what we should be piercing an ear for. This isn't the same little signal you heard at Har Sinai. Those are three questions that many people ask many of these questions. Some this, some that. I'll say my own personal shot what I think the answer is. And I'll share with you an unbelievable shot I read many years ago, and I had a topic today so I could read it out from you, from Rav Schwab on the Torah. Beautiful idea. Okay. I'll tell you my shot first. In life, many times, and I mentioned this, I think, I don't know why I mentioned it. I mentioned it yesterday, the day beforehand, about crimes of passion. What did I mention that? I mentioned that when? Remember? What was that about?
Oh, about Esau with the soup, that he killed her away, and you never ate the bread, you still didn't.
No, that was a long time ago I mentioned that. That's to get it back to actually today. I mentioned it the other day, the crime of passion and the crime of premeditated crime. Pergamos? I don't think it was. Remember? Using that concept, though, we have times in our lives when we are, for a moment, we make an error, make a mistake. It could be premeditated. It could even be a crime of passion. And then when you kind of sit on it a little bit, like when people go to jail, you know, for a period of time, they want to get early parole. So the first thing you ask them is like, you know, you regret your crime. What was it? Tokei Dibor. Ah, thank you. Tokei Dibor. Very good. That was the Ran. The shot of the Ran in the dark. Tokei Dibor. That it shows, it demonstrates, if you haven't changed your mind within a few seconds later, it demonstrates that what you said you were serious about. Excellent, Johnny. Thank you very much. Johnny Haynes, little shill shout out. You deserve that one for that.
That's my roommate.
That's right. That's right. It is your roommate. Anyways, when you're arrested, you go to jail, you want to get out, often they'll say to you, do you regret what you did? And usually, the person who wants to get out of jail, he say, yeah, I regret what happened. I wish I hadn't done it. You know, it's a common theme. And if he says, I don't regret it, I would have done it again, and probably the odds are they wouldn't let you out. The ear heard Har Sinai. It heard. It physically heard. Obviously, the ear can hear everything that happened in Har Sinai. But hearing and listening are two different things. When you hear something and you let it sit in and you take it to heart, that is different than the time your audio system in your brain was working. To make a mistake and then sit for 6 years, quote unquote, stuck, no longer dictating your own lifestyle, you'd imagine a person has the time to kind of rethink his actions, and he should come out and say, you know what? It's my bad, and I'm going to be better for it. If 6 years later, this guy has no problem, not only has no problem with what he did, but he wants the ramifications to continue beyond what he did, then that ear must not have heard properly. Because when you can hear something and still, at the moment in time, lose your focus, it happens. You forget for a minute. You forget about it. As we mentioned before, as Jordan quoted beforehand, Ace of Arusha, right? It says that he was Mivaz of the Bechori. He disgraced the firstborn. When? Not when he sold in the first place. When he finished eating and drinking, got up and he left, and he didn't have a regret, we quoted this earlier on in the year, that's a disgrace. Because we all make mistakes in our lives. As Aaron quoted me today, Johan's name from last week, we're human beings. We are flawed. Part of the greatness of us is that we can get better. It says a malach stands, because he was created perfect and he maintains his perfection. We were created flawed. That's why a boy, by the way, gets a bris milah when he's born, because we were created with a problem to be corrected, so to speak. We were created with an intentional orla, with a foreskin, to work on ourselves. It demonstrates that we're supposed to be working on ourselves, which means until we get there, we're going to be making mistakes regularly. The question is, how do we react to our mistake? So Asa makes a terrible mistake. He sells the birthright because he's hungry, and then he's not hungry anymore. And that's the moment that separates the men from the boys. That a person who strives for greatness should say, you know what? What did I do? Whether he asked for it back or not, but you should have a broken heart over it. You break your heart. You have to pawn something, sell something for money because you're stuck. So you give up something that's very important to you, but you have no choice. You're broken over it. But a person for 6 years was being paid a punishment for something he did wrong. 6 years up and he's very happy to maintain that position. That means that you must never have heard. You couldn't have heard. The ear heard Har Sinai. Not do this and did it, made a mistake and 6 years later didn't react to it? That's a problem. Chavetz Chaim brings down in his sefer Chavetz Chaim, which is why he's named that, he has in the introduction to his sefer all the isurim that you could violate. Do something wrong, you know. In lashon hara, you may create violate many isurim. So one of them is you'll find this that if you speak Lashon Hara, or speak Lashon Hara, you're going to violate the crime of hating your brother in your heart. Meaning, when you speak Lashon Hara and someone does something wrong to you, and you wrong them back, you're creating animosity in the heart. And the Chafetz Chaim points out and says, listen, this Isser is also a human reaction time to it. For example, let's say someone does something wrong to you, they spit in your face. Of course you're going to end up hating them, being embarrassed, being angry at them. That's normal. And you're allowed a small window of opportunity to feel that way. You're allowed to. But you have to rid it from yourself. It's part of life. You can feel something and then you go away with it. Avelus. Person is Nebuchadnezzar's mourning. You have a time to mourn. There is. For 7 days for a certain level of mourning. And you have 30 days for the next level. And then if it's your parents, God forbid, even up to 11 months or 12 months, really. 12 months of mourning. But then you have to figure out a way to, how do I get past? How do I continue on? Human beings have a moment of struggle. That's normal. But then your job is to continue. And therefore, for this guy not to see past this moment in time, and 6 years later, still the same way he felt, that is a terrible problem with his ear. Did you not hear what Kadosh Baruch Hu said? I know you have a heart, and your heart reacts right away instantaneously, but then you have time to let it settle. And he didn't do a good job of that. Okay, that's what I want to say, but I want to say a much better pshat than my pshat. And a much more, I think, powerful pshat. Rav Schwab asked the same questions that I asked. And he gives one answer to all the questions. Again, the three questions that I asked. It wasn't stealing, it was kidnapping. And number two, why not right away? And number three is, why not every single error that you do wrong? So he says, I'll read inside with you. Be'emet ha-gonev nefesh mi-Yisrael, eino gonev as a nefesh, lo me'adam atzmo, lo me'aviv v'imo, lo me'ishto b'nei beso. When you steal, kidnap somebody, you're not kidnapping him, stealing him from himself, or from his parents, or his wife and kids. None of them is up here. Shari kulam einam b'ayim shlo. None of them are his owners. They don't own him. He doesn't even own himself. When you go nave a person, you kidnap a person, you're go nave him, me'akadosh baruch hu. You steal him from God. Because while you're on the world, your job is to do mitzvahs, learn Torah, do mitzvahs, be kind, be full of chesed. And when you kidnap someone and you lock him away, you've stolen him from his creator, who created him for a purpose. And he can't do it anymore. Shemamlich es atzmo la'adam. You've stopped it from being a full-fledged Eved. Why? He has no freedom left. He can't get out of what he wants anymore. Hashem, who created him, who's his nefesh, going to nefesh from Israel. So now you took away from God. You're not your own. You're God's. And he says over here, it's exactly the same point we have right now. He says, when a person decides to stay longer, so the ear that heard Har Sinai, do not kidnap someone else. Don't let yourself be kidnapped. He kidnapped himself right now from God because he chose to stay longer. He kidnapped himself from allowing him to do more of Avodas Hashem. And it only happened 6 years later because the first 6 years is the ramifications of punishment that you deserved. But then you chose to go beyond what you deserved and to kidnap yourself from being Avodas Hashem properly. And no longer can you serve God, which is what you're in the world to be doing. And you're over the iser of kidnapping. Kidnapping yourself from God when you choose to stay longer. Now, what does that mean? Every action that we do has ramification upon our soul. Whatever you behave a certain way, that affects who we are, affects how we serve God. When you commit crimes with your body, you're kidnapping not only your body, but your soul. Your soul no longer is able to function as it should have because you've cut out some of the koach of that soul. The Ramban, I spoke this before with Benny about this topic. Ramban brings down in our parsha. It says you're supposed to help your enemy's animal. And later on in the Dvarim, it says you should help your friend's animal. And it says because you do a certain action to your enemy, he becomes your friend. Your behavior determines your feelings and your attitudes. The more you react in positive ways, the more you follow mitzvahs, the more you're taking your soul and bring it closer to Sefer Kadosh Baruch Hu. The more you do the reverse. The opposite happens. The Gemara Numa brings down is that if you commit a crime, you do it a second time, it says now it's mutter to you. The Gemara says, mutter to you? It's not mutter. No, it's not mutter, but now in your eyes it became mutter. You kidnapped your body, you kidnapped your soul, and now things that should be not allowed anymore are regular or normal. You no longer feel that way. You never no longer feel the need to work on things. You no longer feel the need to understand that you did something wrong because you did it again, and now it's like mutter to you. You forgot to think about it altogether. When a person allows himself to maintain where he is right now and stay in the state of slavery, he's taken the neshama that's supposed to be close to God, and he's handicapped it. He's stolen it. He's kidnapped himself. You have many times in life, you've watched a movie beforehand. We have policemen, undercover policemen, who get caught up in certain things, and they end up getting, you know, forgetting who they are. They lose themselves because they behave in a certain fashion. They lose themselves. This idea of someone who's struggling, and by the way, this week's coming up very soon. In the parsha very soon. The idea of Naseh v'Nishma. What does that mean, Naseh v'Nishma? It means that I'm going to do before I fully understand. You know why? Because when I do something, my heart comes along for the ride. When I'm trying to get close to God, some people say, I'm trying to feel God, and it's hard time feeling it. The first thing that you do when you say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to do everything I can, Naseh, hoping let me Nishma, hoping let me feel it afterwards. The greatest challenge that we face is when we wait until we're inspired to start acting. It always happens to many people in the world. They come to Israel, they hope to be like, snap a finger, it's all going to get better. Until that happens, I'll wait it out. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the secret, the Bnei Yisrael gave us the secret really, at Matan Torah, Naseh v'Nishma. When you start to act in a certain way, it will have an impact on you automatically. And then you get to redirect yourself back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is going to be coming up in the next few weeks with us. Because you'll see in reality who we are. Our actions affect who we are, what we become in the end. And you'll see it no sooner than Purim, probably. Because by Purim, what's going to happen is a lot of the natural feelings we really have deep down are going to come out. If you let them. You're not going to hold back anymore from what you want to say to someone. You're not. What's really going on deep down in your heart is probably, besides other things coming out of your mouth, you know, if you get sick, God forbid, is you'll be saying things and screaming things and doing things that will show the real mindset that you're in. It's going to show it. If you spend your time being nasa, doing and trying and begging Hashem Baruch Hu to help you out, then you will nishma, you will hear what you really feel deep down. You might not always sense it, you might not feel so close to it, but it's deep down in there, it will come out. And if the opposite is the case, which is that you're just as happy to let yourself be stolen. You stole yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead of it being that your mission, your mindset is to serve God, kulo, instead of that, you allow yourself to be an eved to the world, an eved to society, an eved to culture, so you're over this for kidnapping. You go to Shemayim, they're going to pierce your ear in Shemayim for kidnapping yourself, for kidnapping your nefesh. It was supposed to be kulo, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you split time, or even less than split time, you gave yourself over to the challenges of the world. You embraced everything else that was out there. L'mashal, at this point, l'mashal, working. We are obligated to work. We have to work. You know why? Because we were cursed. Because other Mishnah was cursed. No longer can you live off the land alone. Now you have to sweat to have bread. You have to sweat to make a parnasa. It was a curse. If you were cursed, you'd want to be yotze. I want to be yotze my curse. I don't want to embrace my curse. It's like this case over here. When you're punished for 6 years, you should run away from it after 6 years are over. You don't want to embrace that punishment. We're cursed for you to stay. Make your focal point in life be your job. For someone who wants to, every decision he makes right now is about his job. Can I go back to Israel another year? Well, no, my job might not allow for it. Can I, you know, which college I go to? Well, this will give me the best chance for the best job. If your whole focal point on your decision making this point forward is about your job, you're over an Isser D'Oraisa of kidnapping. Yourself! You kidnapped yourself from what your ultimate tachlis life was supposed to be. Of course you have to worry about having a job. It's very important. It's part of the needs of life. It's the klala God gave us. We were cursed to need to worry about it. But that should be a piece of our life, not the major thrust of who we are. The same way that the Eved, his major thrust became the owner that he's not supposed to be with anymore. And the wife he's not supposed to have anymore. But he says, I want to stay there. We say then, shame on you. Pierce your ear for not realizing what was supposed to be your tachlis in life. Same thing with us. We should have virtually, or maybe even really, or really virtually, our ears pierced. Our ears pierced for not realizing as a naaseh v'nishma. I must do, I must react, I must respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu first and foremost. I cannot allow the cultures around me to play such a big impact as they have been maybe until now. Give you all a bracha, we should be zocha, to learn the lesson of the Eved Ivri. To understand that we should not violate ourselves, connect ourselves, we should be zocha, to have this the ability, when this coming Purim comes up, to really hear, to be nishmati, hear what our Nasa really wants to be, is supposed to be, and to be zocha, to be inspiration to us all. Have a beautiful Shabbos.